You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, yes, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number two. By the way, I got to point out a couple things real quick before I go to the phone. So, number one, up on the board, screens, one of the big screens here in the studio, Fox News reporting that the cost of a Thanksgiving dinner has gone up 20% since last year. A 20% increase on Thanksgiving dinners. Wasn't it last year when the Biden administration was proud of saying you could save 16 cents on your meal this year, which everybody's like, what? Why would you even say that? Well, I guess it's a good thing we saved the 16 cents because now it's up 20% since last year. Thank you, sir. And then also, I will say, too, one of our other texters, and I won't say his name just because of where he works, I think. Anyway, he says that the hazardous device school out at Redstone does not currently train military members. I was not aware of that. So correction there from the field, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir, for chiming in. Thank you for your service. All right, let me go to the phones right now. Sam Gavan, State Senator Sam Gavan, is a Republican state senator representing the 7th District of the state of Alabama. Been in office since 2018. He represents part of the Huntsville area. He's an attorney there in Huntsville. He's also spent a lot of time in the local and state party and one of the more conservative members of the body. So I'm glad to have State Senator Sam Gavan calling in now on line one. Sam, how you doing today?
Lovely. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. You got good Thanksgiving laid on?
Oh yeah, we've got a plan, and I'm actually losing weight going into it, so I can endure it. So.
I'm of the belief that what you got to do is you got to eat up, like you got to get your body ready to eat more. So you have to, it's kind of like taking a deep breath before you go underwater. You got to eat up on the way into Thanksgiving. That's what I say.
Well, I'm trying to get back to my fighting weight. And that's eating up before Thanksgiving is just going to compound the problem.
Well, hey, listen, man. I saw the article on 1819 News written by Jeff Poore. I think it came out over the weekend. So I've been real frustrated for some time now about the lack of accountability, in my words, lack of accountability of our state health officer, Scott Harris, who was really a big part of shutting down the state, was a big part of the pandemic policies that so many people have now looked back on with some regret. He is not appointed. He is not confirmed by the Senate. He's not even elected. He's not impeachable. And you said there may be a change coming. Give me your thoughts on this. What's going on?
So last year, there were a series of bills out there, one that was filed by Senator Orr, and I, along with several others, co-sponsored, did attempt to make some changes in how the state health officer operated, really got more into its powers. And we ran into several roadblocks on that, and we're not able to draw any blood there. I want to take the same, or attack the same statute, but take a different tact at it. Now, Senator McClendon, he had myriad problems with the state health department. A lot of them had to do over the scope of practice of medicine. Yeah, he butted heads with them. But, I felt like he went too far. He was trying to totally dismantle and, have complete upheaval at the state health department. And I think we need to have a more surgical approach on this. I just think that it's important that the state, right now the state health officer is appointed by state health board, and the state health board is appointed by a select group of doctors, and that's all the accountability he has is to that group. And so I think that the key for this is to make this the state health officer a cabinet position.
Yeah,
and that we make the, we and I'm kind of leaning towards little bit of belt and suspenders approach leading towards a gubernatorial appointment and confirmation by the Senate.
Absolutely. I think that's the way to go, Senator. I mean, I really do. I mean, right now what that does, I mean, who knew? I mean, I spent my time in the state Senate. Nobody had ever seen the state health officer, much less knew what his powers were and his lack of accountability until suddenly the pandemic happened. And then there was also the weird fact that most people don't know that Jefferson County has its own health officer, which is a kind of a different animal altogether. But
they think they're special.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think, and I don't know why, but every time I saw local legislation that had Jefferson County attached to it, I always sat up straighter in my chair and tried to pay attention because you never knew what was coming. But yeah, I totally agree with you. I think we've got to get to a place where the person who makes decisions that impact the lives of so many in the state has to have a measure of accountability, has to even have a measure of impeachability. Like, you know, like anybody else in state office, you would think they could be impeachable by the legislature if they step outside the bounds of, you know, their left and right limits.
So I think, you know, one of the things that I, you know, had to deal with was, you know, the frustration of so many of my constituents being expressed to me. And there was nothing I could do about it. You know, we tried to make some subsequent changes, but certainly in the heat of the moment, there was nothing we could do. And, you know, I reached out to state health officer a couple of times, and, of course, I got the, you know, courtesy letter of, well, we appreciate what, you know, your comments, but we're going to do what the heck we want to do. And, you know, it was polite, no. And so, you know, I'm sure that I wasn't the only one doing that. But, you know, my thought process is that, you know, if we've got it where a state health officer is appointed by the governor, at least the voters have some sort of reaction there. And I'm not saying the state health officer just needs to be, you know, moved with every whim of the populace, but there is no accountability. None.
Yeah.
And I just think we've got to remedy that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Nobody should be in the position that that guy or future lady is in. With that level of authority, that level of proclamation power. And now, granted, the governor still had to sign off on his policies, but she basically deferred in many ways. She deferred to the knowledge and experience, allegedly, of the state health officer, who basically just went along with the CDC and whatever Fauci said is what it seemed like. And I get it. There were times when you look at it and go, okay, 14 days to flatten the curve, hard to argue. But when you're a year into it and when you see him, you know, calling for policies on vaccinating kids and whatever else, at some point, you look at it and go, okay, who's this guy's boss? Nobody was his boss, and that's what's so frustrating.
Well, it was, and, you know, when you look at the scope, I mean, he's still in charge of all the county health offices, which the county health offices is kind of a misnomer with the exception of Jefferson, and maybe Mobile. I'm not sure about Mobile. They don't get quite the attention, but because Jefferson County is the largest county and, you know, for years was so much larger than all the other counties, they did have a lot of special legislation, a lot of special constitutional amendments that apply just to Jefferson County. So, but, you know, businesses that come under all the inspections, all the health inspections that all these different businesses are under. And then, you know, some, you know, I went to, they ended up not getting there for, I can't remember what the reason was. They didn't try the case, but I showed up for someone who was from Huntsville whose business they were trying to shut down because of some COVID violation. I don't remember what it was, but, you know, if he'd worked at a bigger group, they wouldn't have bothered him. But because he was in a smaller group, you know, kind of felt like he was picked on a little bit, maybe not. But, you know, ended up getting hammered. But one fellow recently was coming to visit me about something. He said, you know, it's kind of like being pulled over by a trooper. And, you know, and the trooper turns out to also be the prosecutor and the judge in the way they handle things.
Yeah. It ain't right.
So it's just,
it ain't right. Well, you're absolutely right, Sam. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you're absolutely right. And so I think that Florida, and I know a number of other states, we're one of the few that does not have some measure of accountability for the state health officer. I think Florida calls him the Surgeon General, but it's an appointed position by the governor and I believe confirmed by the Senate. And I think that's the way to go. And I would encourage you, just you guys are going to be, you know, doing what you do, but I would encourage you also to take a look at trying to incorporate Jefferson County into this too, so we don't wind up with a patchwork quilt of proclamations, you know, where one county does something different than everybody else, but yet it also bleeds over and impacts others.
Well, that's obviously got a big footprint there with how many people that it touches. And there's going to be some other, I'm sure, drama going on this quadrennium in Jefferson County. So that may get brought into it. But, you know, right now, my focus has got to be on the overall state, because the state health officer is still going to, you know, obviously, is the big gorilla. And it's nothing personal against Dr. Harris. It has nothing to do with that. And I disagree with a lot of the decisions. But I think this is, again, it's got to be go forward. There's so many things that we've got out there that we focus on. Well, you know, Governor Ivey's done the right thing here, you know, or maybe she didn't do the right thing, but she said she's going to do the right thing. It's not about Governor Ivey. It's not about Scott Harris. It's about the people of the state of Alabama.
That's right.
And what is the right policy that we need to have going forward for the people of the state of Alabama.
I completely agree. And the last thing we need to see is someone put in that position who has not been reviewed or vetted by the elected officials of the people. So I really believe the confirmation process would help sort of weed out the possibility of getting someone in there who should never be in that position. I mean, you guys having a confirmation process would keep some of the craziness we're seeing in other places. Like, for instance, the Department of Health and Human Services has the guy who wears a dress every day to work. What's her name? Levine. I've forgotten. But anyway, the bottom line is...
I don't know. It looks horrendous. It's horrendous.
It is. It's kind of scary. But the reality is, you guys having an appointment by the governor, who should be allowed to appoint a cabinet position, and then also review it for confirmation, take it up with public hearings, allow the opportunity for input. I think that's the only way to go. And this past few years have truly shown how much leverage that position can bring against the people of the state, and yet having no accountability is a bad formula.
I agree. Hopefully I will find some friends in both bodies that will agree with me.
Well, you get the bill out there, brother, and we'll tout it. But in the meantime, I just appreciate you being available on short notice to come on today and lay it out there, because I think that's a huge deal, and I'm glad to hear that someone's carrying that torch.
All right. Well, good to talk with you. Always enjoy visiting with you.
All right, Sam.
Appreciate
you take care.
What you do on the show.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving. All right, that was State Senator Sam Gavan from the Huntsville area. Boomer, we'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. I'm going to wrap this segment up. I'm shooting for three dippers. We'll see. I'm shooting for three. But coming up next, I will wrap up number one, politics on the home front, and then we'll spend some time doing adventures in woke world. Things that'll curl your hair, make you mad, make you laugh, make you roll your eyes, but there they are. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. That's right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Last few stories I've got here in the politics on the home front stuff. And it's not all politics. Sometimes it's just state officials and people doing stuff. So maybe I didn't give it the best name for a dipper. But I will say this. One of our politicians, Steve Marshall, Alabama Attorney General, I am pleased to announce, AL.com reports that as of, this was Saturday, I believe, November 19th, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall and 21 of his counterparts across the country petitioned the Biden administration on Thursday of last week to repeal the COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare. Oh, I see. So AL.com buried this story over the weekend. That's what happened. They buried it. I found it, AL.com, you silly people. Okay, anyway. So Steve Marshall, Alabama, and 21 other AGs around the country have now petitioned the Biden administration to repeal the COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers, claiming the policy is neither lawful nor medically justified. I mean, you got to look at this and go, okay, can we just stop pretending that the vaccines stop transmissibility? They don't. I mean, good Lord, the Biden administration, every member of the Biden administration has been boosted, vaccinated, boosted. And they all got it multiple times. The president got it multiple times. My gosh. Well, it appears that I've come down with COVID. I'll be quarantining and working from home, staying in tune by email. It's a good thing that I was vaccinated and boosted 19 times. It's ridiculous. And yet people still are losing their jobs over this. God almighty. Anyway, the petition organized by Montana's Attorney General Austin Knudsen said, and signed by 21 other state AGs, including Marshall, claims that the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services' reasons for the mandate is to, quote, coerce the unvaccinated workforce into submission or cause them to lose their livelihoods. Marshall went on to state in his own statement that it's violated the rights of healthcare workers, worsened the staffing shortages in that sector, especially in the rural and frontier states like Alabama. The Biden administration's mandate to impose COVID-19 vaccinations was neither lawful nor medically justified, even as, anyway, it goes on, you can imagine it, but it's got to stop. It's got to stop. How about this one? AL Daily News. Kim Chandler, who's an AP reporter, AL Daily News picked up the story, dated yesterday. Headline, what is going on with Alabama executions? So for the third time in recent months, Alabama has attempted to do a lethal injection death sentence in its state prison system, and had to abort it because of problems with the intravenous lines. This is unprecedented. It's a little embarrassing. It's also very frustrating for the victims' families and those, you know, for that matter. I mean, I don't have a great deal of pity for those that are on death row that have been convicted of murdering someone. But at the same time, can you imagine taking somebody in, strapping them to a table, and then you can't get the IV line? They think they're going to die for the next hour and a half. They think they're going to die, and you can't get the IV line. What the heck? Can they please find a phlebotomist somewhere who knows how to poke a needle? Somebody who's been to a combat lifesaver course in the Army. Can you get a basic E4 medic from the Army to come in, please, and stick a needle? What is going on? Well, the Alabama Department of Corrections disputed the cancellation was a reflection of problems. Oh, really? It blamed the late-running court action for the consequence. I love John Hamm's a great guy, the guy who's now in charge of corrections. But saying that this is not corrections issue, it's a corrections issue, ma'am. It just is. And they say they have no concerns about being able to get this done in the future. Okay, but you've missed it three times in a row now, it seems. Last thing I'll say is this. A few years ago, I was proud to give awards from the Alabama Policy Institute to the leaders in the legislature who had championed freedom of speech on college campuses. And the Alabama Supreme Court, as of just this past week, has ruled unanimously to allow a campus free speech lawsuit to proceed against the University of Alabama Huntsville. Yep, so Young Americans for Liberty have sued UAH, claiming that UAH's policies violate the Campus Freedom of Speech Act that requires students to be allowed to engage in protected expressive activity in outdoor areas and to be able to spontaneously and contemporaneously assemble. Bureaucrats at UAH, it says, have made it clear they view student rights to free expression as secondary to their own desire for control, said one of the plaintiffs. The courts agreed. So at first, their case was dismissed at the lower level. But the Supreme Court of Alabama has said, no. This case goes forward on the merits. That's just cool. So there you go. Stories around the home front. You just learned it all. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming back, it's Adventures in Woke World. Y'all stay tuned.